Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever it is on this amazing day. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, and I'm coming to you live from Odds Cafe over on Haywood Street here in Asheville, North Carolina. This is, I think, the third or fourth podcast we've done on Thursday mornings here. So, again, if you are in this area, any Thursday around 7:30 in the morning, come on by. We can invite you on to the podcast to share a little bit about whatever is impacting you this particular day. So it's a big day today. We are in the middle of, not actually the middle, but tomorrow is going to be the third day of our 7-day challenge that's going on out there. And the first 2 days have been fantastic. It's a purpose challenge. That's what we are all about at Life Transformed. If you're new to what we do, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about that, but the link will be in the show notes. If you want to join the challenge, you can still join it. You'll get all the information. You'll get the recordings from the first 2 days of the challenge, and you'll be able to participate full in and emerge from our challenge with a true purpose in your life, a vision for your future, and you'll be well on the way to accomplishing that and taking steps towards that. So this share is my weekly share of the daily practice that has transformed my life over the last several years. Totally spontaneous, nothing rehearsed. So let's jump right in with the verse of the day. So there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. You know, that is so cool as I think into that. Even over the last couple of days, it's been fantastic because back in the Old Testament, you know, people were left to basically, they were accountable to God through their behaviors and through their faith and loyalty and love right in the moment. I mean, God took people out in the moment in the Old Testament. So just think about that. If you were, you know, doing things that were just not loving back in those days, there's a good chance God, you would feel God's wrath. Even the Israelites felt God's wrath. They were turned over to their enemies and banished into the desert for 40 years. Holy cow. I'm drinking tea this morning on a fast, and it's going wonderful. Anyway, but we, after Jesus came, we have Jesus to be that mediator between us and God. And we can be redeemed through Jesus. We can have all of our sins forgiven through Jesus. And I know if it wasn't for Jesus, I know for me, I'd be done. I would be done. There is no doubt about it. So this verse is, I mean, it's straightforward. One God. You know, that's the other piece that strikes me about this is you can't idolize anything else. Because if you do, it can be trouble. It'll lead you down a slippery slope. And there's so many idols, things you can idolize out there in the world. So you don't want to do that, for sure. So I think this is just a great reminder about that. Now let's jump into the plan for today that I'm actually doing. It's called The Generous Landowner. Here's the prayer. Lord God, sometimes I wonder how I could take my relationship with you, how I could make my relationship with you more real and vital. I ask you to show me ways to do that today. And we're going to go to Matthew 20:1-16. This tea is amazing. If you are ever here in Asheville, come to Odds Cafe. They've got great desserts, pastries, breakfast items. They've got amazing coffee and tea, and they're open into the early evening. They've got, I believe it's beer and wine, I think, and just, it's just the vibe of the place, though, is what is special. It's got that great vibe here, and that's why it's one of our love places and spaces, for sure. Okay, let me get to Matthew. Trying to get better at knowing where different things are in the Bible. Oh, there we go. Didn't take me too long. Oh my gosh, I remember I used to be terrible. I never knew any of that stuff. But, you know, the more time you spend in the Bible, the more relevant it becomes and the more impactful it becomes, at least for me. Okay, let's start reading. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon he did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Workers who were hired about 5 in the morning, in the afternoon, came and each received his denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received the denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." Oh my gosh, I think I see where this is going, don't you? I'm just underlining this verse. It's verse 12, so let me... Matthew 20, and it's 12, verse 12. Grumbling. Remember, I read this earlier this week. This is, Jesus talked about, don't grumble about things when you should be blessed with whatever you have. It's when you become complacent and greedy and prideful that all of a sudden you start grumbling. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so they were grumbling. And that was in verse 11 where they specifically said grumbling. Okay, Matthew 11 and 12, grumbling, not good. But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last. What a good verse there. And I think it just points to me to that whole thing about grumbling. Don't compare. Don't, you know, get pissed because someone else maybe got more than you did for doing the same thing. Be grateful for what you get. Be grateful for what you get. And I think this parable is beautiful because it reflects this person, this vineyard owner, and his preference to do what he wants to do. I love it. Okay. And then John Maxwell has a little comment about that. I read from the John Maxwell Bible. So let's see what John has to say about this parable. Leaders should often read this story. It describes God's grace illustrated by a landowner and his vineyard workers. The workers show us how leaders look when they take their eyes off God and focus on themselves. Through this parable, Jesus attempts to correct wrong attitudes. He is trying to address self-absorption. We grumble and complain about inequities. We focus more on our work than God's. Comparison. We ignore God's grace, remaining preoccupied with the status of others. That's what I talked about here. Presumption. We assume too much when it comes to rewards, forgetting that every blessing is a gift. Yes. And distortion. When we judge others as unworthy, we misunderstand that the entire kingdom is built on grace. Boy, isn't that beautiful? The entire kingdom is built on grace. All right, let's reflect. The punchline of the parable of the generous landowner is familiar to most people. That is verse 16. So the last will be first and the first will be last. You might hear it quoted as a joke when someone cuts into line at the church supper. Well, you know the last will be first and the first will be last. But the parable and its point were no joke to Jesus. Through them, he was communicating another important point about the kingdom of heaven. What did he have in mind? So yes, that verse 1 was for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. That is the kingdom of heaven. It's like that landowner. You can just think about that. That's how this world is. No matter if I found Jesus 20 years ago or yesterday, I get all the same reward. I don't get anything less or anything more. The person that found Jesus 20 years ago doesn't have to go back to God and say, hey, wait a minute, I've been with you 20 years. You should bless me more. Nope, that's not the point. Wow, this is beautiful. The parable seems easy to understand at first. Workers are hired at different points throughout the day with the promise of fair wages at the end. Suspense builds as the early birds anticipate how much overtime pay they might collect. That's where the plot gets complicated. Everyone receives the same amount. Those who work 12 hours are paid the same as those who work one. Now, we are really confused. Is the landowner fair or unfair? Is he a rich oppressor or a heartless communist? But Jesus is using this seeming unfairness to make his point. The kingdom of heaven cannot be earned. It's a gift from God. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So good. Okay, so the kingdom of heaven can't be earned. I love that. It is a gift. Okay, instead of calling this parable the parable of the workers in the vineyard, it might be more accurate to call it the parable of the generous landowner. Verse 15. That's because Jesus was saying our salvation is dependent on God's generosity, not on our good works. That was a tough message for the religious experts of Jesus' day to accept. After all, they led the chosen people. They scrupulously followed all God's commands and regulations, rules. I was just talking to somebody about this. I think I was mentioning this on the challenge, as a matter of fact. You know, we talk about these kinds of things, but until you get absorbed in this, because there's a lot of things in the Bible, especially from Jesus, that are counterintuitive, even today. Imagine he preached this so long ago, and our culture still tends to be the same as it was even back in the Old Testament. Fascinating. If anyone deserved to get into the kingdom of heaven, it was them, the leaders, the chosen people. But religion based on human effort and earning salvation leads away from God and into pride. Boom. That is the bottom line. Pride You know what? If you just divorce yourself from pride, it takes care of so many wrongs. It leads you straight away from sin. If you sacrifice self, then there's no more sin. And that's truly a fact. I'll write that down. It just came to me. Sacrifice self, and there is no more sin. Yeah, don't do anything for yourself. No, it's a slippery slope. I won't get too deep into that. It wasn't such a deep quote. I'm cracking myself up here. Anyway, let's read on. The truth is that God wants everyone to enjoy the benefits of his kingdom. Instead of grumbling about who deserves to be in or out, the workers would have done better to celebrate with the generous landowner at the end of the day. That's what it will be like in the kingdom of heaven. Love it. Which image best describes your view of the Christian faith? A rule book, Christmas gift? Christmas gift for sure. It's kind of what I opened up with on the verse of the day. If it wasn't for Jesus, oh my gosh, I would be condemned. Pray, Lord Jesus, I never repay you for what you did on the cross, but I'm very, very grateful. Yes, so good. Okay, so I'm going to highlight 11 and 12. And if you follow me on Instagram, you will see this on Instagram later today. That's what I do. I'll say what impacts me, and then I'll comment typically on those things. Let's find Ephesians. So, you know, it's so cool to be in the Word every day. It just keeps getting better and better and better. But you have to set aside the time, in my opinion. And you've got to be consistent with it. Consistency is so important with the Bible, because you gain more understanding the more you read. Because when I first picked up a Bible, I had no clue what the heck was going on. None. So I put it down. That's why you have to be persistent and just keep going at it. That is definitely the key with the Bible. All right, let's get back to, okay, here we go. So what is one thing God is saying to me? Heaven is here right now. Jesus, thank you for Jesus comma, thank you. So when you do a plan on the app with people, they give you a chance to talk about what was the biggest thing that impacted you. That it. I would be, oh my gosh, what were those people? I would be lost and not known to our Father. True. So true. All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up for the day. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed. And join us on the challenge. Register now for the challenge. Even if you can't attend, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you can't attend live, you'll get an email the next day with a recording. You have action sheets So if you emerge and do the work on this 7-day challenge, you are going to have purpose statements in each of the major purpose areas of your life, and you will have a vision, and you will have an opportunity to amplify that vision through our community. If we do a good job of adding value to you, we will give you an offer that you can accept or not. No strings attached. We are just all about building the kingdom and helping people grow, helping people get out of isolation and into community. So until the next time we meet, have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, or evening. Take care.